News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, Paddy Baird. He's the Managing Director of the Cholester Travel Group. Paddy, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Bobby.
Now, I'm looking forward to talking about the intricacies of your business, Paddy, but we'll get to that in a minute. Let's chat a little bit about yourself first. I didn't realise you were born in Northern Ireland. You arrived in Dublin's north side, aged about eight. You attended Wesley, Trinity, studied geography and economics. Tell us more. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, well, my father was a Church of Ireland clergyman and born in Dublin, but he got a job. He was moved up to Belfast. That's where I was born, came on the scene. And then at 8, 9 years of age, transferred down then to Dublin. So to the south side first, Bobby, actually. So I have a bit of experience of the south side. And then the majority of my life then was on the north side. So that's where I am now, very proud to say that.
You wanted to be a PE teacher, so you obviously had an interest in sport. Were you a good rugby player?
Yeah, it was good, not bad. Look, I played senior and sort of underage Leinster stuff, but loved it. I just loved the whole teamwork, and you know, I find it now in business. There's a rugby family worldwide, which, to be honest, has really, really helped me in my career. So it has been
the reason I ask is because, you know, a big part of your business in Cholester Travel is around rugby and organising the trips and, the same, as you say, the rugby family, getting people to the Six Nations overseas or whatever it is. So I just wondered where that rugby journey kind of started.
Yeah, no, it started in Wesley College. Yeah, that's where I started playing there and played Leinster Schools and then went into Trinity, Clontarf after that, Old Wesley. So through the contact base, you know, that's my main passion. That's where I had a huge amount of contact. So to form a business through that was where it came from.
So when we look at the business of Cholester Travel, it was started in the 70s by your father-in-law, right?
Yeah, father-in-law Sean Skeen. I shout out to Sean, he's not very well at the moment, so wishing him well.
But absolutely, I wish him well.
Yeah, he started the golfing travel business, really. And, you know, back then, people who wouldn't have been traveling a huge amount with golf went to maybe Spain and Portugal, so he saw the horizons of golf were much further afield, and Thailand, Corfu, America, Arizona, all these amazing places, and brought people throughout the world, and you know, right up to last year, really, you know. So
that business back in the early days was, I'll go to Portugal for 1 week, and you organise five places for you to play golf, your accommodation, your transfers.
Yeah,
here we go.
Well, it was a less, I suppose, as Sean said himself, it was a lot less sort of organised in the sense back then. You know, travel's become very, very, you know, specific and organised now. And it was a bit looser back then, but and not as many people travelled, you know, particularly in golf. But it's a huge part of the business now. And worldwide, it's a huge, huge business. You know?
Can I ask you, Paddy, then? So you went off, as I said, you studied geography and economics. You worked at Metal Processors, Mining Company of Ireland. When did you come into the Cholester Travel business then, or what had you done previous?
Well, I married the beautiful Isabel, his daughter, and so that was, I was 10 years before I actually went into the business with Sean, and just saw from the outside looking in the travel business. And Sean came to me and he said, look, you know, would you like to join? You know, and I had a good job and it was a PLC company, manufacturing sheet lead in Clondalkin. So, you know, that sort of a business. So I said, look, yeah, great, I'll come in. But my expertise and my contacts will be more rugby. I'm not a great golfer. And I said, look, give it a try. And yeah, so the first 99 that was. So I'm 25 years actually in the travel world.
And did you bring the kind of rugby group to the business at that stage?
Yes.
So
yes.
That was really where you developed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Again, through, you know, people I'd known, I sort of was putting it out into the, I mean, the rugby family in Ireland is quite small really, you know, but once you get it out there, I'm in the travel business and rugby tours and, again, back then it was a little bit small. It's 24 years ago now, you know, Ireland wasn't quite the, you know, huge product it is now. You know, Ireland, we weren't winning much in 99, you know, it was a disastrous World Cup for us, if you remember.
I do.
Yeah. And then through the noughties then, and really since, suppose 2006, 2008, when Munster won the Heineken Cup, that's where things really started off.
With Leinster. Well, that was a whole new market, wasn't it?
A whole new market, yeah. Yeah. Leinster in 2009 onwards. It just created this massive business of support, which and now from maybe two or three companies in it, there's four or five now. It's there more even doing road tours, you know.
And we must also remember, Paddy, that the role of the travel agent probably has changed significantly. You know, when we take about the 90s with the internet has travel become much more specialist?
It has. It's a case of, you know, there's a lot more intricacies in it now. You know, it's still, I mean, people are a lot more internet aware now. So they can still just, you know, book their own flight, their hotel. But where we have to do it is we've got to provide that service and expertise. And, you know, really, that's our job. You know, give them a whole package. So they pick the phone up, they click it on the online, and they forget about it. You know, and yes, there's the other side that they will do their own thing. You know, but some people enjoy that.
Yeah, but it's almost played into the hand of the specialist in terms of, because there's so much information out there.
Yes, absolutely.
Really, where do I start I want to go to, you know, a rugby match in Marseille?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can call you and you can organise everything.
Yeah.
A to Z for me.
No, it is. And we've got to be very quick, you know, when fixtures come out, you know, we've got to be really, really quick. Get in there, get the flights, get the hotels so that we're able to offer that service, you know, to people. But, you know, and that's a really key part. So we've got to be always on the ball and,
And how does that work, Paddy, in terms of your own, the business bit of it? Mm. Do you actually have to hedge flights? So if there's, if the Heineken Cup, say, dates are announced, are you straight on trying to block book?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we sort of take a prediction. I mean, there is a bit of a uniformity to the draw every year. So, you know, you probably get better as the years go on. Yeah, you kind of have a prediction thing, you know, and sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. You know, you might sort of hold hotels and say, look, we hold all these weekends. It might be one of those weekends, and some hotels that know us will say, "Yeah, no problem." So there's a lot of pre-planning, you know, and that's something that's the expertise you're talking about, and knowing and not wasting your time, you know, as well, and your staff's time, you know, fantastic staff, you know, but you really want to have them working in the right direction.
You mentioned contacts there. It strikes me as a business, you know, you talk about hotels in Paris or, you know, accommodation in Cape Town or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Building up those connections, the trust, knowing that those guys won't let you down, won't let your customer. Yeah. How important is managing all those relationships?
Well, absolutely. I mean, like, we have a huge amount of repeat business, you know, and it's you know, that loyalty comes from them trusting us and us then trusting our suppliers. So, you know, yes, things go wrong in the travel. Absolutely, they do. Flights are cancelled, God knows, there's pandemics, and, you know, people, when they put their money with us, they've got to understand that it's safe. We're a licensed tour operator, so 100%, you know, people that book with licensed tour operators, travel agents, are secure 100%. So it's getting that confidence, and that's where that comes from. And people are now, after the pandemic, when people were booking four or five different things, or different hotels, flights, transfers, with a travel agent or operator, it's a one-stop shop and they're much safer.
Yeah.
And that's sort of...
What about even recent events such as the Olympics?
You
had tailor-made packages that were about... Talk to me and talk to our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's a bucket list for me, actually. I love athletics, so I wanted to go. So actually, I went last week at Lecky. So obviously, I want to expand it out to the clients because... I mean, our business is all about providing experiences, you know, and the Olympics is a new experience, you know, and a lot of people that we have, they may be into rugby or golf, but that's the next up. Can we go see the Olympics? And we were able to do that. We were able to get them over there using one of the official agents for the Olympics. It's quite a very tightly controlled organisation. And when you go over there, you see the scale of it and the money involved. It makes, it puts rugby and other sports into a minuscule.
And is that
area.
Reflected in the costs in terms of, is it more expensive per event than, say, a rugby match?
I suppose in general, I mean, the athletics, you know, a top ticket, if you get it through the ballot system, you know, you're talking over €900 for an evening session, and one of the better ones, down to maybe €200 for the sort of the higher tickets, you know. So it's big money. And remember, they were filling that stadium, the Stade de France, probably twice a day.
Amazing.
So if you do the maths, you're probably talking 40, 50 million turnover. It's a huge, huge business, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were able to get people there and you know, the Irish House. We were in the Irish House there for the Kelly Harrington fight. Fantastic. You know, what the only sort of team in Paris that had a pub as its HQ. You know, and they were it was great.
Brilliant. What are the opportunities now for the business? Are there other sports maybe that aren't really represented that you'd like to have a look at? Or,
well, look, I mean, our business has been grown. I suppose one of the challenges is, yes, it's so easy to go off on, God, I love that. I mean, I've got, you know, things I'd love to develop more, battlefield tours, you know, family history there. First of all, but really, you've got to concentrate on, you know, because rugby is a growing product as well. Yeah, they're talking about new championships now over the next 2 or 3 years. You know, golf is has so much potential. I mean, you know, not just in Ireland. We've always kind of been focusing on the Irish market. But with the internet now, we're really only sort of seeing, why can't we become with our knowledge, like between what Sean's done and what we've done ourselves with our staff, you know, the knowledge we have now, why can't we just give that to the rest of Europe? You know, let them book, you know, let them work their flights from Scandinavia down to Portugal or to Thailand or America, wherever. So the internet is a huge opportunity for us, particularly in the Gulf.
Things like challenges that you may have, the Dublin Airport cap, if I understand it correctly, it's businesses such as yours that might be inadvertently affected, given that for major events there could be caps that would prohibit travel. Is that...
You're absolutely. I mean, we've heard from, you know, in the Dáil committees, etc., from the big guys, Michael O'Leary, Aer Lingus, etc., You know, in some ways, they're not going to be hurt. I mean, they can move, Ryanair can move their aircraft to other hubs. They can up their prices, you know, and people will still travel. You know, we're in a situation, we're a small, medium enterprise. You know, our business relies on Dublin Airport being able to service for international rugby matches, soccer matches. You know, and if they're saying, you know, it's full, you know,
that's lost sales to you.
What an embarrassment it's going to be, you know, the rest of the world, even for incoming, if the Welsh are coming over, the Scots, and they want to get a charter, sorry, we can't take you. So this has got to be sorted out. I mean, I'm far distant to the channels. You know, the card is a par in Dublin, in Dáil Éireann, but there's got to do something, you know, very quickly, because it's creeping and creeping. And
it'll have to be sorted out.
It's got to be sorted.
Yeah. Things like the rising costs of air travel and that, does that concern you?
It does. You know, we found that even, you know, charter price, from the pandemic, everything just seemed to go up since then. Really, yes, fuel is a factor. You know, wages as well have gone up. So everything is more expensive. But we haven't, to be honest, we haven't found yet a huge drop off in demand because of cost. You know, we're just really passing it on. We're a margin business, so just, you know, that's the way it goes. But, you know, there will be a limit, you know, and the airlines, we're saying to charter companies, come on, God, you know, it's getting ridiculous. It's twice the price it was maybe, you know, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, so there's only so much a customer will bear.
Well, there is that, yeah.
Finally, Paddy, I want to ask you, I believe that you had a piece of employment I didn't know about. You were a grave digger at one time. Tell us more.
As I mentioned before, in my student days, to earn a few quid, and it was well paid back then. Like, it was probably, we're talking
in
about...
In Glasnevin?
No, in Drumcondra Churchyard, which is a beautiful Victorian style. Anybody gets a chance, go up to Church Lane from Condra. I think Christopher Lee, the Fu Manchu, was filmed there, you know, in the dusk of night. You know, James Gandon's buried there. And I dug the graves there for about 3 years with a couple of other lads and had some great experiences and near misses. And at least we laid a lot of people to rest, but hopefully at rest.
We'll keep those stories for another day. Paddy Baird, Managing Director of Cholester Travel Group. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem, Bobby.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.